Did you know Super Awesome Mix has an app? Go to the Apple App Store today and download Super Awesome Mix. It's free. You could start creating and sending your own digital mixtapes in just a few clicks. Also, there's links to our Instagram account and a link where you can follow your favorite podcast. Speaking of which, welcome back to another Super Awesome Mix. My name is Matt Sedholm, alongside my co-host and co-founder of Super Awesome Mix, Samer Abu Salbi. Samer, how are we doing this week?
Doing really well. This was a challenging mix to put together. To use a different adjective here, it wasn't really fun, but it was particularly challenging in a good way, in a really good way.
Yeah, it's borderline torturous, honestly, because, yeah. I mean, I thought the same thought when you... you know, because we talk all the time about how much fun you have making these mixes. But this time I was like, this is not fun. This is not fun to make this mix. Even as I was making notes about our final mix, I was like, oh, I can't believe this isn't on here. Or why didn't I do this? Or why didn't I?
Oh, my goodness.
So let's get to it. It's 50 years. This is the 50th anniversary of hip hop this year, 2023. And so we took on the challenge of putting together a 12-song mix that would represent 50 years of hip-hop, which now that I'm saying it out loud, sounds like the dumbest idea ever.
It's the worst idea. We should have never greenlit this episode.
I'm already thinking we need a volume 2, like, immediately, right? Like, just...
yeah.
Like, because right. There's 12 songs as I was doing this, and I was like, why didn't we include this one? Why didn't we include that one? But...
right, yeah.
Yeah, so that's what made it so hard. There's so many great songs. It's 50 years of music, and what we did here is we kind of did a side A, side B format with me being the elder statesman of the two of us, taking the older school hip-hop and taking side A, and then Samer bringing us up into more modern times.
Yeah, I guess we would really need like a Gen Zer on the show to kind of really do the last like 5 or so years. There's all these great memes out there of people like listening to music that kind of our age group grew up with, and then the rap that people listen to today and making fun of it. It's so funny. But you know what? That's always like we talk about. Every generation kind of doesn't like the next generation's music and hairstyles and clothing, you name it. But we're not here to talk about that. We are here to talk about 50 years of hip hop and 12 songs. We did it. And here we go. So your first pick. You went with Rapper's Delight by the Sugar Hill Gang.
Yeah, the Sugar Hill Gang. It's Wonder Mike, Master G, and Big Bang Hank. This seemed like a good place to start. This group formed in 1979. This was their first single, and it was the first rap single to get into the Billboard Hot 100 and into the top 40, more specifically. Climbed up to number 36 in January of 1980. So this was a song I feel like most people know, and it's kind of funny. Like, you know, like rap music, I think when it first debuted was kind of like just sort of, it was creative. It's always been creative, but just kind of, I feel like at this point in time, it was just more fun than anything else. It's kind of what I thought when I heard this song back in the day.
Totally. And I mean, we'll get to obviously another influential, you know, group here in a moment. But I agree. I think like initially it really was just a little bit more playful and like they had a lot of fun with the rhyming schemes. I mean, like the song opens up, which is like pure nostalgia. And I have to read it out here. But first, I got to bang, bang the boogie to the boogie. Say up, jump the boogie to the bang, bang boogie. Let's rock. You don't stop. That's great. Like, how much fun is that? It's really difficult to read, by the way, to read out loud.
It is, but anyone out there who knows the lyrics can definitely rattle that off with no problem. And it's funny when you get into the lyrics, it's great because bragging about having a color TV is probably pretty dated.
Yes. Is that something I shouldn't be bragging about? Should I stop talking about that? I guess.
You know, hotels used to put that on their signs, actually. It used to be like color TV, like here. And I'm like, wow. Hey, let's stop in there for the night. Color TV. Yeah, but I mean, it's just it's a really fun song. I mean, the full version is like 9 minutes long or something like that. There's a shorter version that gets more radio play that's more like 4 minutes. But, you know, I feel like this was the place to start, because I think when you think about, you know, rap music and old school rap music, and this was the first song I think that came to mind for me.
Yeah, no, it was a really strong pick. I agree. All right, your next track, you went with White Lines by Grandmaster Flash and the Furious Five.
Okay, the Furious Five are Melly Mel, Kid Creole, Keith Cowboy, Scorpio, and Raheem, all of which had kind of, you know, they'll pop up in different rap songs from old school rap, or they have their own songs as well. But this group kind of starts to get you into stuff that is more kind of socially aware, right? And so I was debating whether to put The Message on here or White Lines, both by the same groups. And both songs kind of point out social ills. And so now you start to see rap music evolving a little bit to being like, hey, we're going to point out things that are real to us. And this one, people are probably familiar with because it's been sampled a lot in different songs. And even in the mid-90s, oddly enough, Duran Duran came out with a version of White Lines, which gave it a little bit of a revival. But I love the original. I mean, White Lines refers to cocaine and kind of the glorification of drug dealers, I think, is what comes through on this, and kind of the problems with that. And then as well with, like, you know, the different treatment of individuals, like, you know, like a rich person gets caught and they're out in no time. And then,
right,
you know, somebody poor is in jail for years and years for the same crime. So this is, I think, an important song just because, you know, Grandmaster Flash and the Furious Five definitely started to evolve the genre a little bit into stuff that is more, you know, more pointing out social ills rather than just having fun with rhymes and beats.
Yeah. No, it's funny that you immediately went to "This is a song about cocaine," because I was like, in my notes, I was like, there's no question, right? Like, no one's going to look at this and be like, this is a metaphor for white lines that keep you in your lane.
They were advocating for instant replay in the NFL and talking about the white, like the sidelines, just like, hey, we've got to do something about this. This was pre-instant replay. There was a time before that. Yeah.
That's true. Yeah. Oh. But yeah, it is a song about cocaine, and it is really interesting to have, like, kind of, when you think about it, like a song being played about that, right? Like talking about something that is happening in society and people are dealing with, and that, as you mentioned, you know, the two different people, that one person gets caught, as they said, a street kid gets arrested, going to do some time. He got out 3 years from now just to commit more crime. A businessman is caught with 24 kilos. He's out on bail, out of jail, and that's the way it goes. And so it's like great rhymes, but yeah, very, very strong message here. Absolutely about, like, the, you know, injustice that happens with the exact same crime being committed. It's crazy. So really enjoyed this song. And I think it's definitely a very strong number two.
Fun fact about this one, the unofficial music video was directed by an NYU film student named Spike Lee and starred a young actor named Lawrence Fishburne. How about that? How about that?
That's wild. They didn't do anything after that.
No, never to be heard from again. So anyway, we wanted to give them a shout out.
It's weird that you would bring it up.
Complete unknowns. Yeah, yes. I just thought I'd mention a couple names no one has heard since then. Anyway, moving on.
All right. Track number three. Great one. Love this one. It's Tricky by Run DMC.
I mean, I had to include Run DMC, Jason, Reverend Run Simmons, Daryl, DMC McDaniels, and Jason Jam Master Jay Mizell. They had the first massive crossover rap hit, and that's not this song, right? But their version of Walk This Way with Aerosmith was on MTV and was just, it kind of brought rap to the mainstream with that crossover. And then kind of all of their albums just started to sell because of that. All of a sudden, people kind of got plugged into rap music. I included It's Tricky just because, I don't know, it's probably my favorite Run DMC song. It's just really fun. People know the song. It's a great party song. And just also really, like, representative of their, I feel like representative of their sound and their style.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, honestly, like the intro is so iconic. There's a lot of songs in here that just have an instantly recognizable intro, and this one is definitely on that list. Like, you know, the speech is my recital. I think it's very vital to rock a rhyme that's right on time. It's tricky. It's so good. And I had intended to read that, Matt. And then you just have to, you just start flowing. You just have to sing it.
It's really, no, there's no doubt. And what's impressive about it too, is like, if you think about their, you know, and Run DMC did this a lot where the different voices would come in and out. They would switch voices kind of mid-verse, which they weren't rapping slowly. Like if you think about Rapper's Delight, and now we're speeding things up a little bit. And then by the end of this mix, we're going to get insanely fast, but we'll get there. Okay. But right now we're starting to speed things up. But that was also really impressive to me how they would kind of jump in the middle of verses and still keep a flow.
Yeah, I agree. That's a really good point. Okay. Let's move on. Track number four, strong pick. We had to go with this one, and you went with Straight Outta Compton by N.W.A.
All right, NWA, Dr. Dre, Eazy-E, Ice Cube, MC Ren, DJ Yella. I mean, now rap goes from, you know, I mentioned Grandmaster Flash and the Furious Five being a little bit socially conscious. Now, this is just going to be really in your face about it. Like, it just really escalates things. These guys were so significant. Obviously, they inspired a movie a couple years ago, which was, you know, a massive hit. And really, I mean, showed kind of the struggles they went through, not just kind of as a band, you know, as a group kind of going through these things, but also just from society. Like people were really, and these guys were a massive success, but also considered a societal danger. And I remember right when they came around, like that's where you get the, you know, explicit lyric label on there. It was kind of like they were considered too violent. And then you had, you know, concurrently Two Live Crew, who's not on this mix, but they were too sexually explicit. But both of them were almost kind of concurrent as far as when they were popular and when they were kind of causing problems. And I say problems in air quotes just because, you know, people didn't want to hear what either one of them had to say.
Right.
But they weren't going to stop them. And these guys just became, you know, popular in spite of all the kind of pressures around them to kind of stop what they're doing.
Yeah, it is really interesting to always go back to like moments like this where, you know, now I think if you played the song to anyone that is younger than us, for example, like Gen Z or younger, it'd be like, yeah, okay. I mean, it's a great song, but they wouldn't even bat an eye at some of the lyrics, right? But like, if you put it in the context of when this was coming out, this really was quite controversial. I mean, they covered like a lot of things, you know, they created, I guess this group basically is kind of like creating gangster rap, quote unquote.
Yeah.
And yeah, like to sing about this stuff, to sing about the violence, to sing about like misogyny, like all the things that they kind of like rapped about and have that on the airwaves. Like, yeah, it was pretty shocking, you know, especially given kind of like, you know, in the United States, at least you got Reagan as president, very conservative president. So absolutely, I can imagine like the zeitgeist at the moment is like, oh, my gosh, what's happening? You know, we're losing ground to this group in a way.
Yeah. And it was very much like the 80s are considered kind of a feel good decade. Right. And then it's like, yeah, this kind of comes in the later 80s where it's like, no, there are some problems. And NWA was there to kind of tell us about it. And I know for me, you know, these guys are out of Compton, California, you know, growing up in Dallas, Texas, like I don't know anything about their world, right? There's no internet at this point. And so it really brought people into a different experience in a part of the world they weren't going to go to. So really, really a landmark group and a landmark song. I mean, this was, I could have put the whole album on here, but just picked Straight Outta Compton.
Nice. All right. Track number five, another must have on any 50 years of hip hop mix. And it's Can I Kick It by A Tribe Called Quest.
Yeah. So A Tribe Called Quest, it's Q-Tip, it's Fife Dawg, Ali, Shaheed, Muhammad, and Jarobi White. What's cool about A Tribe Called Quest is that they come around when, you know, you've got the rise of gangster rap, like you said, like NWA is wildly popular at this time, right? And so was Two Live Crew, truthfully. And then you've got A Tribe Called Quest, and they kind of cut out their own niche because now they're kind of doing, you know, they're bringing like jazz into the mix and they're bringing in some alternative beats and kind of ways to flow. And it was almost more, I think, you know, you just talked about playing some of this music for a younger person. I feel like they would almost connect with it more because I feel like this is a little bit more like what you see now with some of the modern rappers. versus some of the other just more conventional rhymes and beats that you saw in a lot of old school hip hop. So I had to include A Tribe Called Quest just because of, I hear their influence a lot in some of the newer rap songs now.
Yeah, I love that. I think you're spot on with that. And I think part of it too is like starting with a really good sample, you know, and this one, of course, samples Walk on the Wild Side, which just has that incredible bass line. And I think even just setting that as the foundation for then adding on the lyrics and the rap, and these guys' voices are amazing. Like, I love Q-Tip's voice so much. It's like, it's just, it's great. It produces a very strong song, and one that I agree. Like, if you, I mean, I play this still today and I love it. Like, there's no sense of, oh, this is an old song. It's just like, nope, this is just an objectively good song that I enjoy.
Yeah, it was in the kids movie, the Tom and Jerry movie a couple years back. awesome. It was like in the like opening credits sequence. And both my kids like really were into it just immediately, like hearing the song, which is like kind of cool, but speaks to your point that it's like, it's not dated at all.
Yeah. All right. Track number 6, the last one of your picks. And you went with Juicy by the Notorious B.I.G.
All right. So struggled with, do I include Biggie? Do I include Tupac? I mean, we could probably talk about both of them right here. You know, Biggie representing the West Coast, Tupac the East Coast. And obviously both died way too young, but left behind just a, you know, significant catalog, you know, by both of them. I don't know. I went with Biggie. I think I've always kind of favored his music a little bit over Tupac, and just love this song. We also, through Biggie, we get introduced to P. Diddy, who obviously was pretty influential with hip hop over the years as well. So I kind of included Biggie so I could, you know, mention Diddy as well. But anyway, it's going to be impossible, like I said, to include everybody. But love this song. So many great rhymes. It's about kind of coming up and sort of thinking about where you came from before achieving the success that you have. I love the lyric here. I made the change from a common thief to up close and personal with Robin Leach. And I wondered how many people would know who Robin Leach is nowadays.
Probably not many.
Probably not many.
Probably not as many as at the time.
So for the listeners out there, yeah. Robin Leach hosted a show called Lifestyles of the Rich and Famous. And he would just go to super rich people's homes and take you around and show you all the rich things they have, which is such hilarious because nowadays everyone wants to just seem like they're poor, even when they're rich.
Right. Yeah, like the 90s and the whole conspicuous consumption thing, like, it definitely has fallen out of favor in recent years. Oh, man. What I really love, too, here in this song, you know, speaking of attaining wealth, is in verse 3, where he sings Super Nintendo, Sega Genesis. When I was a dead broke man, I couldn't picture this. 50-inch screen, money green leather sofa, got 2 rides, a limousine with a chauffeur. Like, I just love that. Like, what more could you need as a kid with Super Nintendo?
That's right. Sega Genesis? That's right. He had both game systems. Are you kidding me?
It's incredible.
It's incredible. All right. So let's pop the tape out of the deck. Let's flip it on the to the B side. And Samri, your next 6 picks are going to take us, you know, to a little bit more modern times. And you'll start with your first pick, which is X Factor by Lauryn Hill.
Yeah. Oh, my God. I mean, I think, like, we've talked about the New Radicals album and trying to pick a song off of that throughout the entire history of our show. I think we could easily, and have been doing that with A Miseducation of Miss Lauryn Hill. Amazing album. We talked to death about it, but had to put her on here because, I mean, still to this day, this album is talked about. It's still like such a triumph of sheer perfection. This song came to mind, too, because it was sampled by a Drake song, Nice for What? Where, you know, you could recognize her lyrics and her song kind of sped up in the background of that one. So kind of repopularized that, because a lot of people, as often is the case, will be like, what is that song that is inside this Drake song? And so I think that's kind of fun, because I imagine, you know, a lot more people were introduced to Lauryn Hill thanks to Drake kind of putting that as the core sample in his song. Anyway, I just think, like, this is a beautiful song. Like I mentioned, love her her album start to finish, and wanted to include her to kick off my side of the tape.
She I mean, it's still ridiculous to think that we only got one album from Lauryn Hill.
Yeah.
And I feel like when I was, I mean, I think I was in college when it came out and everybody had this album. And so you hear every song, but I'm glad you picked X Factor just because this is one you don't hear as much. And like you said, we could probably include the whole album at some point on all our mixes. So this was a great underrated pick from Lauryn Hill. And certainly she, even though just the one album, like you said, it's still being sampled now. It's still being mentioned now. Like she's considered one of the greats, even with just kind of a limited output.
Totally.
All right. Track 8, you go with Lose Control by Missy Elliott featuring Ciara and Fat Man Scoop.
Yeah, I had intended to kind of do a chronological and then I realized that I didn't. Because, and so here we are. So we bounced around. So Lauryn Hill's song was 98. This is 2005. So a little bit of a leap into the future. And then what ends up happening is really just more of like the songs I remembered growing up with is kind of how these were laid out. So anyway, Missy Elliott, definitely a game changer in this space as well. This track also features a very talented Ciara on the track who has an incredible voice. But I just think Missy Elliott's music, as we've said before in the show, also still has that playability factor. Like it just seemingly never ages. I mean, you play the song and I bet like the entire room is going to love it. And they're going to, even if they haven't heard it before, like they're going to want to dance to it. They're going to want to move to it. She's got such a way with kind of the beats and her raps and everything. And you know, I love her confidence in herself too, right? Like verse one is, I got a cute face, chubby waist, thick legs, in shape, you know, like this is at a time, you know, where like supermodels are a thing, right? Like that Apple TV show just came out and like people were obsessed with skinny everything and like Victoria's Secret angels. Like this is a time when it was like very chic to be super skinny. And here's a woman rapping very openly about how she's got thick legs, but she's in shape and she's super confident, right? Like I love that. I think that's great. And shout out to her for like pushing on that and kind of challenging the status quo that was at the time. So that's why I really love this song. But even just as a song, like it just sounds so good and it makes you want to move.
I agree. Yeah, it's fantastic. It's very listenable even today. My daughter is in dance and inevitably at one of these recitals, there'll be, you know, a hip hop routine and Missy Elliott is pretty regularly still in the mix. So you're right. Like, I feel like my daughter doesn't know the name Missy Elliott, but knows like probably five of her songs.
That's awesome.
All right. Track 9, you've got The Next Episode by Dr. Dre featuring Snoop Dogg.
Yeah, I had to find a way to get Snoop Dogg on here, basically. And also Dre, because like you can't talk about modern rap without bringing up Dre. You know, I mean, he has had such a prolific career in the space, has produced a lot of artists. He himself has not rapped too much. So this is definitely, you know, on the like one of the more unique things of listening to him rap or whenever he was still producing albums. But yeah, like absolutely love these two. This is the song that I would say basically introduced me to rap music in my young high school days, because this is now back in the year 2000. So I was like 14 or 15 years old. And yeah, like honestly, like I've mentioned this before too, but if you play that Super Bowl halftime show where they just hit the opening notes of this song and the whole crowd like just loses their mind, yes. Like it still has that power. Although as we've talked about on the sample episode, this is also sampled from a song called The Edge. So I think it was that brilliance of taking, you know, kind of an obscure song, but then realizing that it was just got this great hook and you could layer on like incredible rap on top of it. And I think that that is something that Dre and all these guys did so well. So definitely had to include them here, a song that I absolutely grew up listening to over and over again.
Yeah, it's funny because, I mean, obviously he's part of NWA, but I think he might be the one guy that if he was going to be included twice on this mix would be justifiable just because of his influence, not just early on, but even in more modern times with all the producing he's done. And it's funny you talk about this being your introduction to rap music because this is like, this was kind of part of Dre's quote unquote comeback, right? Like he had kind of... Right. Like gone solo, like had a couple hits and things died down. And then it was like, oh, well, now he's great again, right? And he's got Snoop and he's got an artist we're going to talk about here in a second. And so it's, yeah, I mean, I love that you included this as well, because I feel like the one thing, as hard as it was to make this mix, I did think a Dr. Dre through line definitely does exist.
Yeah, I agree.
All right, track 10. I said we're going to talk about this guy in a second. Here he is. Track 10, The Real Slim Shady by Eminem.
Yeah, I mean, I had to include Eminem here. So this is from 2000. Definitely another game changer in this space because he talks about this even in his lyrics. Like, he was a white rapper in a space that didn't really see a lot of them, and certainly not ones that were as successful as he became. So it was like really interesting in that regard. But his career, I mean, he's also had a very long one since. Like, he's still producing new music. We've just recently covered some of that. And so he has kept busy in the space. But his earlier stuff, it's funny, is like very kind of, it's more humorous, but it still has that edge and that cutting to it and like that darkness behind it. Whereas I feel, as I mentioned on the new music episode, like as he's gotten older, I feel like the humor has been turned down a bit and the edginess and kind of dark stuff has been turned up. It's like it was an 80-20 split that kind of flipped. But in these early stuff, I mean, he absolutely kind of like turned the world on its head because of his style of rap, his insult game. Like, he went after everyone in all these tracks. And so I think that he kind of laid the groundwork for a whole new generation of rap music to follow in his footsteps.
Yeah, completely agree. I mean, I think my note here was like, I've never seen anyone before him like him and since him, like just one in a million, truly. With Eminem, I mean, you're right. His lyrics, both controversial, but humorous and clever and, you know, substantial, and they're violent. Like, it's just all of these things. And yet we keep talking about him, and I keep being blown away by his lyrics, and not in a, I don't know, for whatever reason, I don't think he's really ever gotten in trouble for being offensive, even though
right.
his lyrics are. But I think if you really listen to it, you can see some of the, like, it's just not as overtly violent as you think it might be, I guess, is maybe right. the best way to put yeah. it. Yeah.
I can see that.
But I love in this song how he you know, talks about how Will Smith doesn't have to cuss on his raps to sell records. And he's like, but I do. So F off and F you too, right? And but I think it's funny because you think now and it's like, I don't know, people are probably more okay with Eminem than Will Smith, right?
I know. It's funny what 20 years will
yeah,
do.
Yeah, 20 years will do that. A little bit of a shift.
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
All right. Track 11. You've got Backseat Freestyle by Kendrick Lamar.
I mean, I had to include a Kendrick Lamar, you know. And again, like, this is where it just got so difficult because I was like, no, but I also have to include this other person. And I also have to include this other person. But Kendrick Lamar made this version, volume one. Like you said, we'll definitely have to do more. But, you know, I mean, he also, I think, has kind of been a game changer. You know, he's got that status in the rap world where he will release a new single or a new album, and everyone on the internet is talking about it, is listening to it, is, like, you know, creating tweets about it, is creating reels about it. Like, he is a cultural moment whenever he like produces something. You know, his last album, like he released the album cover for it, and everyone pored over what it could mean. Like, why is she in the corner over there? What is she doing? What is he doing? And like, blah, blah, blah. Like, he has definitely become a force in rap. So I think it's really interesting. But something that makes me laugh about that, the reason I bring all of that up, is because he's got a line here where, and this is a little explicit, so, you know, cover your ears if you're young. But he says, I pray my dick get big as the Eiffel Tower so I can F the world for 72 hours. And apparently people have pored over that line. And he himself has said, and I quote here, that is just the way we used to talk. That is dope because that was me being as ignorant as possible. And they are still analyzing it as ignorant as possible and putting national stats behind it. That is funny. So he's basically just being like, you guys, I literally was just talking like trash on a, you know, on the tape, and everyone thinks that it means something important.
That's hysterical. Yeah, that's really funny that someone would, because that's the one line I feel like is not really something to be analyzed.
Right.
But yeah, Kendrick Lamar, definitely one of the modern legends. And what I find so impressive about him is that he really does produce albums as a whole. Right. In a time yes. where it's just like people just want singles. Right. Like, that's it. Like, how many streams can I get of this one song? And I feel like he still values kind of, I'm going to try to tell a story here with this production. And I think that's what yeah. makes him more significant. So, yeah, great pick. All right, let's bring it home. And this one is amazing. And I like how you just looped in a ton of rappers here in one song, but I'm going to get all of them. Here we go. The song is Worldwide Choppers. It's credited to Tech N9ne, but it features D-Lock, Twisted Insane, Yellow Wolf, Twista, SZA, USO, JL, and the great Busta Rhymes.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. So this is 2011. And I had to, really struggled with what is my last pick, but I figured I would pick this one for a number of reasons. One, it does feature a lot of incredible, very talented rappers. Number two, it's like a style of rap that, you know, is like chopping or spitting. And it's like, it is mind blowing. I listen to this track all the time. And every single time I still get chills listening to some of these people rap as fast as they do. And what I think is especially cool about this one is that it's Worldwide Choppers. And so the songs are broken up where there's like an announcement to like, you're in Denmark, you're in Turkey, like now you're back to Alabama. And how like, you know, rap, which kind of was credited to being born out of New York City. And then there was like West Coast, East Coast. And now it's like, it's global and it's become this global phenomenon. And so to hear people rap at such fast speeds in different languages, I think is also really special on this track. You know, Tech N9ne's out of Kansas City. And I think that that's also super cool when you think about it. It's like a city like Kansas City can produce like a rapper who's been so successful. And also it's become like a cultural force and can bring all these guys together on a single track. And so really love it for that one. And I wanted to kind of end on that note in terms of like, this space has grown a lot and has seen a lot of different, different types of rap. And this one in particular blows my mind.
Yeah, this song was amazing. Because of what you just talked about, just the speed of it. And when contrasting it to our first track, Rapper's Delight, it's almost like if you go and search out highlights from the first X Games, when it's like, hey, they took a skateboard and okay, he did a 360, right? And then it's like you watch right. X Games now and it's like he's 100 feet in the air. Okay, he's doing a 1080 and he's got to fall into that ring of fire or else he's going to lose every point he's just gained, right? And it's like things have escalated so quickly.
Yes. Honestly, I feel that way about like about field goals in the NFL. Like people are kicking like 65-yard field goals. Like what is happening? It used to be a big deal when you'd hit like a 40, you know, and now it's like nothing. It's crazy. It's crazy.
There's no doubt. Yeah, rappers and field goal kickers are often connected. And so I'm glad somebody finally said it.
100%.
There's no doubt. A very solid line. Tech N9ne has been called the Greg Zuerlein of the rap game for a long time.
I love this.
All right. Well, let's wrap up there. Okay. Listen, folks. Okay. We know we missed some people. So tell us who we missed out on. At Super Awesome Mix is where we're at on social media. We know we missed some, but tell us what you like and we'll try to maybe put together a volume two, maybe even before the year is out. Who knows? But no promises there. But of course, we've got that and plenty of other mixes to work on. So for Sammer, this is Matt and we'll see you next time. Super Awesome Mix is brought to you by DLM. Make shopping easy with DLM, the one-stop shop for all your casual clothing needs. Shop DLMSupplyCo.com and enter the promo code AWESOME at checkout to save 15% off your first purchase. That's DLMSupplyCo.com.